You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast. Visit mashthosebuttons.com for a full podcast schedule.
Cargo secured. Extraction complete.
Intelligent system analytic computer is activated. All ISAT systems are confirmed online. Data scanned. Downloading files.
What's up, guys? You're listening to episode 126 of SITREP Radio, giving you the news and other happenings in the world of the Division. This week, we've got a developer blog and some thoughts on update 1.8.3 and why it's not fixed the meta. But first, my name's Mike, and joining me as always are my co-hosts, Robert.
Hello.
And Luke.
Hello.
Hope you guys have had an awesome week, and welcome to any new listeners of the show. Let's get down to some news.
State of the game.
Okay, so the state of the game was back this week. Both Petra and Yannick were sat in the state of the game room, having lots of awkward moments, as per usual. But the state of the game this week was pretty much, to give a bit of a news dump of what is going to be happening over the month of October. I'm going to pass this one over to Luke. Very quick.
We get a brand new shield. We don't know when yet. As per usual, Yannick being nice and...
No, we do know.
We do know.
We do know. No, we're just going to skip over these because these we'll let you guys know when all this drops. It'll just be easier.
Yeah, there's a graphic coming. So but they haven't finished it yet.
Right, okay. Fair enough. So we get a brand new shield in October. We get in... extra Dark Zone supply drops in October, and we're getting double field proficiency rewards over a weekend in October, and the global event for October is Blackout. Is that correct? Is that what they said?
Yep.
Blackout?
Yeah. Yeah. And it should be dropping the end of October or something like that.
And the shield is to get to level 15 of resistance.
Resistance.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
Rebel, I think they called it.
Yeah, I'm going to say I'm really looking forward to that shield because I like resistance and it's something I don't feel we play enough of.
Is this not a retroactive shield then?
No, it's not.
Ooh, no. Like it. Okay, yeah, I'm down with that.
I know why you like it. Maybe talk about that later. Anyway, as we did say at the forefront of the show, there is a developer blog that was dropped today. And they will be doing these, perhaps monthly. We don't know when these will be dropping, but these will be dropping up to the launch of The Division 2. And they're going to basically use these developer blogs to kind of cover different aspects of the game.
Sorry. It's my hype train impression.
And they're going to use them to give lots of detail and insights on the lead up to the sequel.
Yes.
First things first. Boys, what do you think of the developer blog and like the way this has been laid out for people? I don't mean the layout of the developer blog. I mean, is it like putting it out there, all this detailed information? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, like I said, pre-show, they haven't really given us... Well, they've gone into a little bit of detail, but there isn't much more information that we gleaned from playing the demo.
Not yet.
Not yet, but... Yeah, it's definitely a good thing for them to start doing this, I think.
It's definitely steps in the right direction. I'll agree with you on that one.
And yeah, I think... As you say...
They're like explaining why they've changed it compared to like there's lots of comparisons to the original game in the blog and like why they've done it, which is interesting.
I was going to say the one that stands out for me the most is probably Exotics.
Yeah.
I know you guys have read this, but you know, there's a section that literally says exotic weapons will stand out a lot more in the sequel. Each weapon will have its own unique look and be clearly distinguishable.
Underglow neons, I'm calling it now.
That is fucking awesome. And it, like, it even says, it, you know, the story and the theme of the weapon will connect to the lore behind it
that,
as well.
That bit got me quite excited, I'll be honest. I also liked all the news about the grenades as well, though.
Hey,
skipping ahead, dude.
Well, I was going to say, shh, Rob, you know something about exotics because you've been playing another dead game.
Yeah. You mean Destiny, right? Yeah, people have been moaning that they've changed the exotic drop rate. And people have been bitching about it. Well, not bitching, but like...
excuse me. Sorry, just pause it now. Not Destiny podcast. So, no. But how do you feel about this?
You just asked me about it, and then you're just cutting me off. You're shitting me.
I asked you to basically give a comparison to these.
I was Destiny. Getting to it.
What, telling us about the drop rates in Destiny?
Rob, tell me about this game, but I'm going to cut you off halfway through your answer. Go.
No, I'm just not going to say anything now.
I feel like there's a song by Hoobastank. We're definitely not going in the same direction.
Not unless I beg.
Shout out to all you 90s rock fans. early 2000s, I guess. Anyway, it's a different podcast.
Come on, Rob. Like, some of the best weapons in Destiny, obviously the exotic rifles, have some freaking awesome lore behind it, don't they?
Yes.
Don't do that.
What? I'm not going to elaborate. Elaborate, because you're just going to shut me down. So, fuck you.
Wow, now you know how it feels, bitch.
Welcome to Shutdown Radio.
Amount of times I have to listen to you go, nah! Well, this is pretty cool. Come on.
No, yeah, I agree. As long as you get the drop rates right.
What? So the fact that the exotic weapons and the visual look and the fact they're tied to lore are all cool as long as they're tied to the
decent I don't really give a shit about any of that. it can't be hard to get.
After all.
And some of them have to be tied to secret missions that you have to find out by watching hundreds of YouTube videos.
Is that secret?
No, not anymore.
Luke, I'm going to go over to you, dude. What do you think of this?
I like it. I like that it's connected to the lore more. I think that was definitely missing from the first game with the exotics. I know they tried to remedy it a little bit with, is it 1.6? And they also put a bit of lore behind the classified items as well, didn't they? But it always felt a bit weak. But I do kind of agree with Rob about the drop rates, though, because if the drop rates are low... No, listen to me. If the drop rates are low... sit there shaking your fucking head, you cunt. If the drop rates are low, then you get a weapon and you tie the lore into it really well. That just helps to hype up the drop that you've just got. Oh, you agree this time. Thank you, Michael. You prick.
Yeah, you don't want it to be the Oprah Winfrey of exotics in The Division 2, do you?
Exactly. See, we got there in the end. Can I talk about grenades now?
Rob, is he allowed to talk about grenades now?
Yeah, I mean, we skipped over the whole rifle thing, but...
We can come back.
It's just all the grenade news in the dev blog was stuff I didn't know. So I thought it was... A, really interesting, and B, quite a clever move, actually, because it will change the dynamic of gameplay completely from the first one. Like, with you literally only being able to use concussion grenades till you are level 30, I think it's brilliant.
Yeah. That's a huge change from the Division 1. And the fact that, like, after level 30, then each specialization is going to have a, like, particular grenade tied to that specialization along with your concussion grenade, which I expect you can drop out. So sharpshooter, you'll get a flashbang grenade, demolitionist will get incendiary, and survivalist will get frag. No shot grenades.
But the way they talk about it, it seems like they're going to be important. Like the way they like talk about using them in raids and stuff, like you're going to have to pick and choose when you're using these grenades, not just willy-nilly throwing them. Oh, there you go, have a grenade. Like, you're going to have to use them at like precise moments to create an effect. I don't know. It just that interests me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the fact that they also state that it also means you have a clearer idea of the capabilities of like each player in PvP and PvE. So right, reducing the amount of grenades that we have does that, doesn't it? You know, you're only going to have, at the minute that we know, 4 grenade types. You're not going to have shock, which is a bit cheesy anyway. And then they're going to band together with the specializations, which is pretty cool. It's literally kind of getting that operator thing that, you know, we've been saying about for a while that we wanted. And kind of pushing it to be like, you're going to, you know, if you need to run like incendiary grenades in a raid, you need to run demolitionist. Do you know what I mean?
Just say incendiary one more time.
Fuck off. I can't fucking talk tonight. I don't know what's wrong with me.
I'm glad you spotted it as well. Yeah.
To go back to my favorite subject, Destiny, they do a similar thing.
To cut you off once again, it feels like we've gone back to the first 6 months of the podcast where Rob just spent the whole time talking about Destiny, not The Division.
We compared Destiny to The Division. Now we're comparing Destiny to Division 2. But like each class has 3 grenades and you pick one. Simple as.
Cool story.
And there's no we comparing. I'm just saying.
Yeah. It's not the royal we.
Sorry.
Rob, going back to rifles, as you so rightly said, what was one of the things that stood out with the changes that they've made? Obviously, the fact that they've added another category.
Yeah, so the semi-auto and burst fire rifles are going to have their own like subcategory. So, guessing different perks and different mods available on them weapons, which kind of makes sense because you don't want to have like, I don't know how they're doing the mods, but like you can't have like assault rifle mods on a semi-auto rifle weapon. They wouldn't work the same. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Or perks. There's no point you having balancing perks on an assault rifle.
Yeah.
Like it feels like they're kind of simplifying, I guess, the build variation at that stage, if you know what I mean. Like they're going to, could be completely wrong, but I'm guessing that we'll have like a load of perks or talents for like one weapon type that you probably won't be able to get on another one because it's either pointless or will be OP.
Yeah.
It just means like those burst fire rifles might actually get used for once. Because in Division 1, as soon as you get a burst fire rifle, it's just trashed.
Another thing that you might actually get from this as well, more balance. Like to the actual meta and the weapons and the gunplay in like PvE and PvP.
Yeah, I was going to go there with what I was going to say because literally just the last sentence of the thing they're talking about with rifles was the one that caught my attention where they say that the ambition with these changes is to have a great variety of equally viable weapons throughout the game. So that to me is all about balance and keeping the meta wider, I guess.
Yeah, it depends how... Sorry.
When it comes to balance, like the burst, right? Like there's burst assault rifles in Division 1, right? And there's burst SMGs.
Yeah.
And those are tied in with that bracket of weapons. So the damage is tied in with that bracket of weapons. So with the RPM, you're losing DPS because they're burst rifles. If they're in a separate category, you can now up that damage to bring them in line with the rest of the weapons.
Yeah.
I was literally going to say, by splitting these into different categories rather than just this is a rifle and this is an assault rifle or marksman and assault rifle, whatever you want to
do. This is a knife.
It's not a knife. It then leads you to be able to balance the game a lot better because you've got different categories of weapons than rather like than having them all in the same pool and adjusting one, then that affects the whole lot and kills, you know, either nerfs or causes like a whole lot to be OP. Mods. Rob, what do you think of the mod system for Division 2? I know we've kind of talked about this briefly before, but...
I think it's brilliant. That's all I'm going to say. It's brilliant. It's genius. Although, we did talk about this on stream with a good friend of ours, Chuck. Chuck, the main man, Cunningham. And he was worried that you don't, by taking mods out of the loot pool, you're going to take away from that good feeling of getting a decent mod. Like that sense of achievement when you get something good. And I don't think that'll be the case. I think this will help with balancing when it comes to PvP especially. And I'm pretty sure the developers would have thought of the fact that these aren't going to be in the loot pool, that they would find another way around giving us that sense of satisfaction when something drops.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I know there is mods, or I can't remember what they call it in Destiny, because I'm going to use that here. But there's... What is it in Destiny? Is it mods? It's not... It's work. Something works, isn't it?
Masterwork. You mean Masterworks?
Masterworks. Yeah. There's that in Destiny, isn't there?
There's also mods.
But there is also mods, but yeah. The actual... With regards to, like, oh my god, I can't think at all today. Freaking, isn't certain things in Destiny 2's weapons or Destiny 1's weapons unlocked through actually playing the game with that weapon? I'm pretty sure.
Oh, you mean catalysts?
Yeah,
that is only on exotics. You have you have to get the catalyst to drop. That is almost as rare as getting an exotic now. Which you will then add to the weapon, then you have to earn that. That's basically the masterwork for the exotic. You have to work.
Okay, maybe that's not the best example, but I remember something like we had to kill so many enemies with a weapon. You had to basically grind out the weapon to unlock the attachments, which
that was back in Destiny 1. Yeah, you would have to, yeah, some of the exotics you'd have to, yeah, I know what you mean.
And I kind of could see that being, you know, the same route that this could potentially go, because this is also kind of what Rainbow Six Siege did, wasn't it? You had to play the game and unlock the mods using currency in game. I'm pretty sure.
From what I understand, though, the mods are all unlocked during the 1-30, though, right?
Yeah. Well, we hope so.
There might be some exotic mods, though, that we don't know about.
I don't know. It says not looted anymore, so I can't see us picking up.
Yeah, but like,
any other
say
mods.
There's an exotic mod you have to earn by doing difficult activities.
Yeah, but that would be easy to do because it should already be on the weapon. You just do the difficult activities and then you unlock it. You don't have to find it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah,
it doesn't. Right. And in the end, it doesn't matter if you loot it or if you just unlock it, you're effectively doing the same thing. The only difference is RNG doesn't play into the fact whether you get that mod or not. But I can understand some people's worries with that you're not going to be able to, you know, search through hundreds of mods to find the right ones. But when you've got all these people putting out build videos, they're all like, use crit chance mods with this magazine. And, you know, we all end up having the same mods at the minute. That's all going to change with the Division 2 because we've got positive and negative mods that are going to be applicable to the weapons that we're using. I don't think we actually know 100% how the mods are going to work. So do we just unlock the mods in general and then select them for the weapon that we want to put them to?
Yeah, certain weapons are going to have certain mods. They've said that.
But they're also, do you know what I mean? It just have like a pool of mods that you unlock rather than find, but then you just attach them but then they've got the positive and negative stats on them.
They're still going to be a best in slot, though.
Well, yeah, you're always going to have something. Even like something like Rainbow Six Siege, where there's like two weapons on a character.
It's not so much anymore. Like the way they've changed the recoil, you can kind of go with whatever you've... It's like personal preference.
Okay, up until they did the update.
All right.
Because they changed it. They changed the to a more realistic spray, I'm pretty sure. And
More predictable recoil.
I think that's what they're hoping for with Division 2's mods, though, because there are, like you said, there's a positive and a negative connotation to each mod. So the example they used in the dev blog was with the extended magazines. If you get 50 extra bullets, for example, you get 20% less reload speed. So you might be using a weapon in a scenario where you want the extra reload speed. So you take off the extended mag and put a different mag on. So it plays into your personal preference and also the content that you're doing. So.
And the weapon you're using.
Exactly. Yeah. So it goes down to personal preference as much as best in slot bunny is. I hope there is some sort of grind to unlocking the mods, though. I know what Rob's saying about he thinks it's done in the 1 to 30, but I do kind of hope there's some progression where you have to do such and such an amount of things with each weapon type before you get all the mods for said weapon type.
We don't know
yet. We don't know.
We don't know that. So, which you would kind of think would be in the devlog. We don't know how that is actually going to work.
They have said previously that they will all be unlockable during the 1 to 30. But they might be like, you know how the blueprints were tied to doing certain activities in Division 1? They might do the same thing, like finish all of that area and you get that blueprint.
Yeah.
It would be the same for the mod. So you can do it, but you don't have to do it if you don't want it.
Yeah, good point.
Or maybe it just gives you one mod slot that you're allowed to unlock. Do you know what I mean? Like, gives you 1 point towards it or something like that. Hmm. Like a progression for...
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about it in that way.
Yeah, you go do a mission or you go run a certain activity and it gives you...
Points towards unlocking a mod.
Yeah, some kind of currency that will allow you to unlock it, which I'd quite like that system. And that way you're not
like
unlocking
the,
a whole
like
load.
Like the boo from... Yeah. First game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could spend your boo points on whichever mod you wanted first, couldn't you? Boo mod. There was only certain ones that you couldn't unlock because you had to unlock something else first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thing is, it's meant to be like an RPG style game anyway. And like I've been playing Spider-Man, and one of the things that you do in that is you have gadgets, which are effectively your weapons, but then there's upgrades to those weapons which you have to go out in the open world and do activities to gain the currency to then upgrade the weapons, which would effectively be the mods, like your site, your magazine, and things like that, so, which would allow you access to upgrade. And I'd be kind of cool if they did that system, but we don't know yet. And whether that would apply to like either one weapon, so I don't know, an M4, or would it apply to the whole range of assault rifles? We don't know. I would assume it would be like a whole pool of assault rifles, but the thing is, if it ends up being the other way, you could be farming the game for ages and then having like to find one particular weapon and then have to unlock the mods for it after you've gained it, which could be past the level 1 to 30. You don't know. Weapon talents.
I read this and didn't really understand it.
Luke?
They're trying to shrink down what you need in terms of agent requirements to unlock the weapon talents, is how I understood it, but also giving you like a broader spectrum of what they can make the weapon talents need so that they can unlock them pretty much by doing whatever the hell they please. The example they used was if you had a gear piece or a particular brand item on your agent, the specific weapon you were carrying could have a specific talent tied to that brand or gear piece. rather than you needing to do a specific activity to proc the talent.
It's definitely a different approach to what we've got in the Division 1.
Yeah, they've kind of flipped it on its head a bit, haven't they?
Yeah, moving away from the three main stats is probably one of the best things they could do.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I agree with you on that one.
I do like the whole visual thing they do. It's like for every single talent, you've got like a predator count.
The augmented reality tracker.
Yes. Yeah. That's cool. It's one thing that Destiny does.
I did.
When you proc a talent, it shows up on the screen and on the left.
I did clock that whatever guns I was using in the demo when we went to Gamescom, you got the quote-unquote pred counter on the side of the weapon, but it didn't really tell you what it was for. And because obviously it was a timed demo, so we didn't really spend that long in the menu trying to figure out what gear talents we'd got and weapon talents we'd got. I just ignored it. But it was clearly visible. It's easily as visible, if not more visible, than the pred counter is. And like, yeah. What's the other one? There's the pred counter.
Oh, Hunter's Faith.
That's it. Thank you. Yeah, Hunter's Faith. It's good. I like it.
I think going back to weapon talents, I think it looks like they're pulling something from Division 1 as well, where that, you know, having specific weapon types equipped is going to be a good thing going forward, because to unlock talents, because certain talents in Division 1 are only used with certain exotic weapons. We could see that come back into play. Pretty sure, like, is it a historian? Works with certain gear sets. I know that's gear sets, not technically. I can't remember which one it is. I know, pretty sure the MDR. They've tried doing this before, haven't they? They had like the Seeker set that was supposed to work with an SMG.
Yeah. I think the Seeker set was the blind rifle, wasn't it, that we never actually got. But yeah, the MDR works, gives you extra damage if somebody's under a status effect, which obviously works really well with Firecrest.
But it's kind of like they're taking that example from the Division 1 and raising it. So like, not status effect, which it kind of gives you an idea of where they're moving to with regards to status effects, because maybe, I think we'll still have status effects, but it won't be as predominant as we effectively have it in Division 1.
Do you reckon put a cap on how many exotics you can run if they're making exotics as good as they say?
You mean like another certain game does, Rob?
Yeah.
To mention it again.
Sorry.
Do you know what? I'd be on board for that change, depending how restrictive they made it.
If they were that powerful,
yeah,
you'd need something like that.
Because what's the limit in that game? Is it two?
You're allowed one gun and one armor piece.
Right. I'd kind of be on board, but like I say, it depends how restrictive it is, because of how, if we get exotic gear, how that plays into your build dynamic, i.e. with the ninja bag in Division 1.
But what if running an exotic causes like your specialist weapon to be nulled out? Because that's effectively an exotic weapon that you're permanently carrying around. Yeah, but
you need to remember your specialization weapon is not supposed to be it's to replace your super, isn't it, rather than an exotic weapon as such. So I'm not sure I agree with you on that one. I like where your head's going, but...
It all depends on the exotic, I guess.
Yeah.
It depends. Like, if the exotics are really situational, then it's not going to be an issue, but...
I think having something like a sniper set and running sharpshooter and then having an exotic marksman rifle, do you know what I mean? It seems a bit...
OP?
OP, yeah. Or if they're bringing grenade launchers and we get an exotic one, and then you're basically running...
Yeah, but I wouldn't say running a sharpshooter and then running an exotic sniper rifle would be OP. I'd say probably running another specialization. So you've got an exotic, you've basically got two specializations in one build.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if you needed, like, you need specialist ammo for your specialization weapon? What if you need exotic ammo or your exotic weapon? Therefore, if you do have the sharpshooter specialization unlocked and you run out of 50 cal ammo, you could use your slightly beefed up M1A with the exotic ammo that you've got. And then when you run out of that ammo, you've then got to run around with your Vector for a little bit.
Yeah, it means you have to get off your ass and go play the game, not sit in a corner.
Which would also mean you would only be able to really run one exotic weapon because you would eventually run out of ammo.
Exactly.
Damn.
You're welcome, Massive. Face. Can have that one for free.
Can I?
No, that's pretty cool. Just
backtrack on something that I wanted to mention earlier and forgot. You know, it's going back to the grenades bit, but it's not about the grenades. It's the fact that they only list those three specializations again. So we're only getting, quote unquote, only getting three extra grenade types. What do you think the extra grenade type will be with the fourth specialization that we, quote, do not know about?
Shot grenade.
I knew you were going to go
that
there.
That would be the dick. That would be the dick move, wouldn't
that
it?
That could be with the electrician specialization, though, right?
Or smoke.
Smoke grenades be good.
But if we have smoke grenades, what do we need to have to go along with it, Rob?
Infrared, like scope.
Exactly.
Or like glass.
All those glass fans out there.
That would be cool. Yeah, we just have to wait and see if that, you know, quote unquote, specialization actually arrives.
So we know nothing more about it than other than Terry Spear didn't want to argue with Sam, don't we? That's it. That's the only time it's been even remotely confirmed. So
yeah, Ubisoft Sam.
Yes,
you can officially go ask a bunch of questions.
Yeah, Ubisoft Sam.
We need
not
to.
Your
we
wife.
Need to like abduct him and waterboard him until he tells us.
or her.
No, it's
not about Terry.
I thought it was about Sam.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought you were about waterboarding Terry. I was like, I'm not sure I'm going to help you.
That's scary.
How does hearing all like these changes compared to what we have already? How do you think that's going to affect build for the future?
Depends how they do the mod system. No, actually, I take that back. It depends how they do any of it, really, because we know we're getting brands, we know we're getting gear pieces,
we're definitely
getting exotics of one description or another. So the build diversity could be as wide as it's ever been, but it depends how it all ties into your specialization as well. So it could be as wide as it's ever been, or it could be really narrow, like, oh, you're in this specialization, so all of that stuff over there doesn't really work for you, so just put that on your other character and go down this avenue. I don't think they will do that. I'm pretty sure they wouldn't.
The division being the division, it's not.
Yeah, but they're changing everything else, so.
The thing is, you can't see it as the division anymore. It's.
They must realize that one of the fundamental parts of their game is going in and making a build, making it unique. If they haven't realized that, then they're idiots.
Can I just say something really quick though, Rob? How nice would it be to not have Mike sat in his stash box for half an hour when we're trying to play the game?
Yeah, but you'll have less of that.
Well, hopefully we'll better see what he's doing and we can like tell him what he's doing wrong.
All the things. Mike, don't put that there. Mike, what are you doing? Mike, no.
Not that grenade, you fool.
But it's the only grenade I've got.
Oh,
what are you on about?
I forgot about that.
I I've only got two. I can't run your grenade, you idiot.
We should just make Mike always use the incendiary grenades because he can't say it.
Why do I sit down every week with you boys?
Because you love us.
I do. Unfortunately, I do. Yeah. I mean, it definitely feels like they're pushing in a different direction with the Division 2 with regards to builds. Like, you can go on Reddit now and you will see so many posts for, like, how do I put this build together? What build should I run? What's a DPS build in the current game that we have now? And it does feel like we got to the end of Division 1 and everyone's like, cool, what pieces, what gear should I run? And obviously you've got YouTubers and things like that who put out some more awesome content to cover all that. But you've also got a case where you should be able to put a build together that should be pretty decent without like a guide, if you know what I mean. The game should teach you how to put a build together yourself without having to kind of use other resources to do it.
I think how they've changed the main stats working for Division 2 will help with that, because there'll be less freedom to going all firearms and all stam tank and all that sort of bullshit, won't there? So that will help. I want to say dumb it down, it's the wrong phrase, but you know what I mean.
Make it more accessible.
Yeah.
Because like you can go on Reddit, there's plenty of people that don't understand gear bonuses, skill mods, gear score, signature skills, and you should be able to like know how to put all that together.
I feel like to be able to do end game content. Classified pieces kind of were maybe a sneaky peek into the way they want to go, because the lore text for the classified pieces basically tells you how to build your build, doesn't it? Pred, you've got to have 9k stamina. D3, you've got to have 9k stamina. Tacticians, you need all the electronics in the world. Hunters, Faith, and... No, sorry, Alpha Bridge, you need 555 across the board. You know, they're basically telling you what to do. And then just the little mini perks of what you've got your freedom with.
While we're on the topic of classifieds, if they bring... gear sets back in, or classified gear sets back in, do you want them as a 4-piece or a 6-piece?
Or a 12-piece.
Or a 12-piece if you want. But, like, do you want it to be a case where we're running other brands with gear sets, or do you think if they're going to bring gear sets in, that is all you should be able to run? Like, if a gear set is built for a specific thing, maybe some of the problems we've had in the past before classifieds were due to the fact we were trying to add other things into the mix as well. So you'd be running, I don't know, Alpha Bridge with Savage Gloves and...
Yeah, see, the part of me that enjoys creating builds wants it to be 4 pieces and then you can run 2 of whatever you want. But I feel like that would start us on the road of some of the problems we've got in the first game, where balance is a lot harder to create. So maybe make... brands be where you can run whatever the hell you want, and gear sets are literally all 6 pieces.
I kind of agree with that.
What if gear sets were separated from brands?
In what sense?
In sense that you could have a gear set of all 6 pieces, but then still have 3 separate brands giving you extra perks on top of the gear set perk. And then you could also, you could mix and match. That alone would increase the build diversity like exponentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just, my only worry is like, we're talking about gear sets. We haven't even got the game yet, but it's just, the problem we've got now is like gear sets came out and they kind of were so powerful that the previous gear sets got the previous gear got basically left behind, didn't they? Especially when classifieds came out, because it was either running striker, you know, you wouldn't often go against somebody with a full exotic build or something like that, would you? Or like a all gold build. And I just a bit worried that if something like that does get added, whether we're going to basically start to work towards that once again, if you know what I mean. If we get gear sets that are four-piece, then you'd be trying to put other stuff with it, which is then potentially going to be causing problems. But I have to see. There's like pluses and minuses on gear, which we didn't have before. So that could add to it. You know, that could help with some of the issues that we've currently got, which would detract you from using certain pieces with gear sets and other brands, maybe. I guess we'll have to find out on next week's State of the Game. Maybe they'll talk about some of this.
Fingers crossed.
Mm. Yeah, for those of you that don't know, there will be a State of the Game next week, and the main man himself, Frederick Thailander, will be a special guest, and he's going to be talking about some of the weapons, and I expect gear from the Division 2.
If you haven't listened to the Bombshell Jackets episode with him on, go and listen to it. It's really good, really entertaining.
A lot of cheese and bacon. Pretty sure we discussed that in last week's episode, but
someone came into my chat while I was streaming the game we don't discuss, and
but you've said several times.
Who was it? I can't remember. I think it was Tubby, and he was like, "They make a smoky bacon cheddar. Everyone wins."
That's awesome, dude. Okay, questions and feedback for the show this week. Luke, I'm going to pass this one over to you first.
So McDad from the Cocked On podcast from the Underground, Upside Down, he actually posted this question last week whilst we were recording, so it goes back to our discussion about raids. He wants to know, when do we think the raid will be released, and will there be enough time to grind so that the raid is achievable?
I'm pretty sure we discussed this last week.
I don't want it to be to at least 3 weeks or 4 weeks afterwards.
I think I said 6 weeks. Happening.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you did, actually. Yeah, you did. I'm with Mike. I think 4.
I think 2 weeks is, like, not enough time.
No, 2 weeks is far too fast.
Your whole blip.
Yeah, 1 week. Especially 1 week to, like, finish the story, because you don't want to rush it. Enjoy that shit. And then a week to grind at end game for decent loot. I guess that makes sense, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'm on board for that.
Yeah. Bond Diesel asks, how futuristic are you guys willing to accept the technology in the game to be? What is the limit you're willing to tolerate?
Space magic. Anything before that.
Yeah, no space magic. No, like exoskeletal suits either. I don't want none of that shit.
You don't want to be Iron Man.
No.
You don't want to be Doom Guy.
No. I don't really play COD Future Warfare or whatever the fuck that awful title was called.
You don't want to play Anthem.
What if the Division's the precursor to Anthem? Would that blow your mind, Luke?
I'd like somebody to prove to me how they're in the same universe. Yeah.
Announced tomorrow, BioWare and Massive have now joined hands.
Rob, I'll let you take the next question.
With Cocked On, a Tom Forza podcast, heading to PAX AU, do you think they'll be recognised at all?
I don't know. Are they infamously wanted in Australia?
They're Australian, but then they'd just be recognised as other Australians, so I don't know how that counts.
There's a lot of Australians, dude.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said it. I think you missed the point there.
Yeah, probably. I normally do. I kind of glaze over when you start talking.
All right,
Tom Forza.
I hope they do. I hope they do. I hope they get some special VIP treatment.
Yeah, they should.
Get that sweet Crocodile D.
Crocodile D?
Oh, fucking hell.
Crocodile dick.
I didn't say that. Crocodile Dundee autograph. It's in crocodile dick. What the fuck is wrong with
I had some weird... What did I say last week? Because I had some weird gifts on Twitter this week of a kangaroo like touching himself and then a kangaroo touching a sheep.
That is weird.
Hmm. I don't remember what I said, but maybe that's... Maybe they're related.
It's probably better you don't remember what you said if people are sending you animal porn pictures on Twitter.
Luke?
Yes, Mike?
Next question.
I just wanted to see the panic on your face. Gus would like to know, with the addition of rifles categories to weapons in Division 2, what weapons from Division 1 would we like to see in the sequel and what changes would we like to see from them, i.e. should the foul be single shot rather than burst?
What if they gave you a selector switch?
Oh, dude. Ooh. No, they can't do that. Shush. Maybe.
But it would be cool.
But they'd have to... Yeah, but you would have to...
Scale it for both.
No, you'd have to have mods for both.
You
have to have mods for when it's single and when it's burst.
Would you, though? Because that's not how R6 does it, is it?
No.
There are definitely weapons. I don't know if it's all weapons, but there are definitely weapons in R6 where you can have it single shot and auto.
Come on, Rob, just say yes.
Name one.
I can't name a single weapon from R6. It's been that long since I played it.
I can't think.
G36 would have single shot, wouldn't it?
Not on R6. You can't. I don't think you can. You might be thinking of a different game.
I'm pretty sure you can. Because I'm pretty sure I kept pressing the wrong button for a while and kept putting it to single shot.
Anyway, I'd be on board for the selector. I think that's probably one of your better ideas, Mike.
I'll take that as a compliment, I guess. But that's not answering the questions, is it? The additions of the rifles category, what weapons from the Division 1 would you like to see in Division 2? I want to see the Vector come back and actually be decent. That's a change.
Okay. It's not a rifle, though, is it?
No, but that's not what it says, is it? What weapons from the Division 2 would you like to see in Division 2?
Yeah, okay. Sorry. I was just going back to the rifles bit being highlighted.
Burst fire MP5. That needs some love.
Do you know what? I'm going to go... Let's just all go SMGs. I'm going to go MP7. I used to love the fuck out of my MP7s on the Division.
Yeah, MP7. Oh, man. I just want SMGs to be a thing again rather than just using M4s.
As opposed to the house, which is possibly the most overused weapon in the game.
Apart from the frickin' house.
Which is an MPX.
It's just rolling his head.
I'm just wondering why the fact it's an MPX matters. It's still an SMG, right?
Yeah, but like, I'm just saying.
And Seamaster GMT over on YouTube, he sent some feedback this week. He said he just started listening to the podcast this week. Didn't know there was a Division podcast, and he listens to about 30 different podcasts each week. He would like to hear tips and tricks, or maybe a coaching segment on the show, and would like to be a better player, he says, but he has a hard time committing hours to YouTube tutorials. He said, glad I stumbled upon your show. Keep up the good work. Cheers. Have a good week, lads. Going back to hearing tips or tricks or maybe a coaching segment on the show, how do you guys feel about something like that for the future?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure we're the best people to do it, but we can.
Well, we did try and do a couple of build videos, but unfortunately, it was like right at the back end of the meta when the meta kind of went shit.
Yeah,
we kind of tried to go a little bit out there with our builds as well, didn't we? Just to do something a little bit different. But most players of this game don't want something different. They just want to wreck faces.
Metal run the same.
Yeah. So, but thank you very much for checking the podcast out, dude. There are several other brilliant Division podcasts that you could find as well. Just saying. I mean, they're not as good as ours, obviously, but...
Oh, God. That's a topic of debate. Very quickly, before we do leave, one of the topics of the show this week, going off the meta, basically, the player base isn't too happy with the current state of 1.8.3, and we might actually have some answers this week as to why this is the case. Luke, I'm going to pass this one very quickly over to you.
Yeah, so Terry Spear joined Amper Camper in his Friday night usual live stream slot, and they were talking about, I think somebody in chat actually asked the question on what Amper and Terry thought of the meta as it stands. Terry was pretty candid, actually. He just said, like, I don't like it. I don't like where it is. I think 1.8.3 was slightly overhyped. It maybe shouldn't have been called a patch and should have just been called a fix, because basically 1.8.3's remit was to fix the running in place bug. And whilst they had an extra couple of weeks at it, they took a quick swipe at the Showstopper Cronus Max crap and the Striker. So they didn't really put any fixes in that they really wanted to where the meta was concerned.
Yeah, and then obviously they nerfed the medbag.
And the medbag change, yeah, which, you know, all credit to Terry, said that was his decision. So I like that, first of all, he can put his hands up to something that he's responsible for and feels that was necessary to the game. I actually like the change. I know a lot of people don't, but I think it's a good idea. But Terry went on to say that if he could and if it was his decision, he would do a 1.8.4 patch and start work on it immediately. He did go so far as to say that purse strings may dictate whether that ever happens, which, you know, is understandable where the game is at the moment in relation to the sequel coming out in March.
But also from his point of view, like, it's not just a quick going in and changing the meta. It's going to be a case of, you know, 6 months of free work. PTS is going to be required to fix the meta to make things better, and possibly even another ETF.
It's not going to happen.
That's a lot of investment when you're about 6 months out from the Division 2 being released. Yeah. And obviously, how many studios are working on this? It's not just like it's one bug now. It's the whole meta of the game. There's, 13 classified gear sets that need to be reworked. Mm. To be not all in balance. I don't think you'll ever get them all in balance, but to get them in a better state than they are currently, or in a more usable state than what we have. I don't know how you guys feel about changing the Striker meta a couple of weeks later.
Thing is, I can understand why he would want to do another patch, because obviously it's meta stale. Leaving the game as is, it's going to leave a bad taste in your mouth when you start playing the next game.
Yeah.
Something, and Luke's going to hate me again, but something something Destiny did well is before Destiny 1 died, they made it hella fun. They just went balls to the wall and made it fun. It rained loot and everything was just... was made easy, and yeah, a lot of people didn't like it, but if you wanted to play the game, you picked it up and it was piece of piss. You could get through it easy, and that kind of led on to the next game. They haven't really done that with the Division.
Still early days, though. I mean, we're 6 months out. I mean, I say it's early days. What did I work out today? It was 159 days.
169 days, I remember that.
10 days short. 169 days till the release of Division 2. I don't know. It's a shame that we're sat in this position where people aren't happy, obviously, with the meta at the minute. You know, I think we kind of all want a Striker changed. So it wasn't just that was the only gear set that people were using, but the amount of testing that went into that, the problems that was going to cause, obviously people have turned to different gear sets and it's not the best meta at the minute. I think it's probably the stalest meta that we've had so far. It's even to the point where, what was it, Marco Stahl the other week was like, I'm done streaming for a minute, streaming the division. Which sucks, especially when he's like one of the forefront of the community, you know. And especially after how many people have given feedback since January or February of this year on the 1.8 update once all the gear sets were out. I think we even did a podcast on it, giving feedback of all the gear sets and how they could be adjusted slightly to make, you know, maybe bring them a little bit more in line with each other. I'm pretty sure Marco Stahl has probably put out a video. Pretty sure Wids might have put out a video as well. I don't know. Luke?
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I don't know if it's the stalest meta we've ever had, though. I don't know if that's a bit harsh.
It's probably not the best choice of words. Not the stale, but I don't know. Nobody seems happy with it at all. I don't think we've had a meta.
Is it because there isn't a strong meta gear set? Is that the problem? Perhaps.
I think that might be, you know, Rob. Because I've been running.
They finally balanced the game and no one fucking likes it.
Well, yeah, because like if the majority of the player base came back with 1.8, what was the strongest meta? Striker?
1.8 was a mix of Striker and Nomad. Because it was procking in groups, wasn't it? And Pred till people figured out how to counter it properly.
So you've got a position where a lot of people came back to the game and you had really OP gear sets, and maybe it's just the case that they didn't play through the game when we had to, you know, run random ass builds or whatever, like what people are doing now. Or the shield meta. You remember? That we had when we were like, let's go in the dark zone and we'll kick ass with shields because we're Roman soldiers.
That didn't work out very well, did it?
No, it didn't. That's not the point. It was fun.
Well, wait, no, you're not allowed to play computer games and have fun, dude. It's one or the other.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I'm thankful that they took a swipe at Striker. It needed readjusting to not use the N word. Because, you know, everybody was running Striker, much like Nomad needed adjusting, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. The game's probably just run its course. I mean, I know I've played the shit out of it, but I am finding myself a little bit bored of it at the moment. I think I'll be taking a little break and playing something else for a little while.
Destiny.
No, not Destiny. Shut up.
What do you think this podcast has been about? It's why it's been saying it every fucking 5 minutes.
It's subliminal, dude.
You wake up in the middle of the night, you just be like, Destiny.
No, not going to happen.
Kate's dead? What?
Fuck Kate.
Fucking spoilers, dude.
Yeah.
It's in the fucking trailer.
Finish your sentence.
No, I don't know where I was heading with that, really, but I've been trying to find a gear set that's fun, and I think the most fun gear set I've been using the last couple of weeks while you've been off playing Spider-Man and Space Magic between the pair of you is...
Don't say Firecrest. Please don't say
Firecrest. No, not Firecrest. Never Firecrest.
I was going to say, if it is, I'm coming back, baby.
No, it's gone out my head. The LMG one with the reload procking.
Oh, Lone Star.
Lone Star.
Oh,
thank Lone you. Star.
That's always been Jesus good Christ.
Fun. Yeah, but I've just never really used it before because I've always wanted to be...
That was the first one I used when they changed it with 1.8.3. That was really fucking good. And then everybody was running it.
That's what you use when we were playing PlayStation. Back in the day.
Back in the day. But yeah, it's if this doesn't get resolved before...
It's not going to. They're not going to spend any more money on fixing a game that's now almost 3 years old.
I think I agree. It was really good of Terry to be as open as he was on that stream. There are videos of it for anybody who's not seen it on the VODs. and a couple of YouTube channels have covered it and given their own thoughts, basically what we've just done in this podcast. So go and check it out if you don't believe us. It was really good of Terry to be that open and honest. I'm in agreement with Rob. I don't think they'll spend any more money. Certainly haven't got the amount of time to do the stuff that Terry wants to do. So,
yeah, but it's not a good... I know the thing is, you can't fault Massa for it. Higher up than them. And it's not good to leave your player base with that problem before you move on to another game, because people will pick up that game and you will have like some of the player base that won't even move on. So they're going to be stuck like playing that meta long after the Division 2. You say that, but there's still people playing other games like after the sequel came out. trying to fucking divert it. Fucking hate.
Destiny.
It's true. People went back to Destiny 1 because they didn't like Destiny 2. Because
Cade's still alive in that game.
Dude, you could have used any Battlefield title, but no, you had to go Destiny, didn't you?
Yeah, but Battlefield's long-standing anyway. It's that good.
I guarantee you people are still playing PvP in Destiny 1. Because PvP in Destiny 2 sucks ass.
It's not great. We're not happy. We'll just have to see if something happens. We don't know.
Destiny.
We better go before Luke falls asleep.
Destiny.
Robert.
Yeah?
Just saying, Rob, your name.
You can find us.
Thank you.
Oh, you're not letting me know.
No, I was just going to say thank you to everyone who sent feedback and questions to the show this week.
Why did you say my name then?
I was just making sure you knew what your name was.
Okay.
Seamaster GMT just turned off.
Yeah, sorry, dude. Rob,
yeah?
Go.
What do you want me to do now?
Do the thing.
Oh, now you want me to read.
If you care.
You can find us over at Sit Ready on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, as well as our personal accounts. Send any questions or feedback for the show to sitreadypod@gmail.com. Or you can find us on Discord, the link's in the show notes. We want to hear your thoughts on the news we covered and the topics we covered. So be sure to leave a comment and join the discussion in any of those places. Luke?
Pretty, pretty please leave a review of the show using the podcast app of your choice and tell us just how bad this episode was. We genuinely enjoyed reading all your reviews. The feedback is usually excellent, and at the end of the day, it does actually help people find our podcast. If you are brave enough to listen to the very end of this show, where you'll hear Rob talk like a robot for 5 minutes, apparently, you'll hear all the juicy details about the other awesome shows that are available on Mash Those Buttons Network. Thank you, not Destiny.
Man, I can't wait to listen to Rob talk like a robot at the end of the show for 5 minutes. Anyway, we do live stream as often as we can, so if you're interested in dropping by and chatting with us whilst we play The Division and some other games, you can find us over at twitch.tv/SitRepRadio. We have been Sit Rep Radio. Thank you very much for listening, agents, and we will catch you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for choosing a Mash Those Buttons podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you'd like to subscribe to one of our shows, you can find us on multiple podcast platforms across iOS and Android. Just search for the show on a podcatcher like Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts and hit subscribe. If you can't find us on your favorite podcast platform of choice, just go right to the mashthosebuttons.com website, grab the RSS feed, and put it into your podcatcher of choice. If you want to check out some other podcasts you may enjoy, you should check out mashthosebuttons.com/shows. For World of Warcraft fans, we have two podcasts, WoW Talk, which is our news and community podcast, and The Torn and the Goblin, which is our lore and story podcast. If you enjoy Overwatch, make sure to check out Watchpoint Radio to keep up with the latest on Overwatch and its community. If you enjoy fighting games, make sure you check out Double Tap for the latest in the FGC. If you're a fan of The Division or looking forward to The Division 2, make sure you check out Sit Rep Radio. If you want to keep up with the latest at Mash Those Buttons, you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mtbsite, facebook.com/mashthosebuttons, and youtube.com/smashthosebuttons. We'd also like to have you join our Discord community. So just go to discord.me/smashthosebuttons and join us for a chat. Once again, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.